Okay, welcoming everybody back. Eric, Anita, Meir, Women's Learning Division of Adas Yeshurun. Sunday morning, Parshas Achrei Mois, Tovshin Peyalf. Okay, this morning, I would like to talk about a subject which is, I would say, relevant to everybody. Relevant to everybody, regardless of age. And maybe, I don't know if we'll have time or not, we'll see if we can even connect it a little bit to what we spoke about yesterday morning. Sometimes we do. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to begin with a story. This is not a regular story. This is a story about a tzaddik, about an Adam Gadol, who was killed during the war. I came across this story in a book. I called the author because I wanted to authenticate this story, as I often do. I could not believe the story. He sent me to his source of where he found the story. And then years later, I met the author of the story, who was, as you'll see in a moment, very close to the person of the story. I'm talking about a Jew whose name was Avram Grudzinski. Avram Grudzinski was the last mashgiach of Slabodka Yeshiva. Those people who know the history know that Slabodka Yeshiva was the yeshiva. The Alta Slabodka was the person who was responsible for Torah in the world. Just to give you a very quick list, if they ask people to unmute themselves to ask me questions, but otherwise maybe mute themselves. There's a little bit of background noise. So the Alta Slabodka was the Rebbe of, let's just give a little bit of a rundown. He was the Rebbe of, anyways, the Alta Slabodka was the Rebbe of Rav Aaron Kotler, the Rebbe of Rav Yaakov Manetsky, the Rebbe of Rav Rudeman, the Rebbe of Rav Huttner. That already is yeshivas Lakewood, Ner Yisrael, Torah V'Das, and Chaim Berlin. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shach, which is Ponovitz Yeshiva. He was the Rebbe of Rav David Leibowitz, whose son was the founder of the Chofetz Chaim Yeshivas. It goes on and on and on and on and on. Everybody in the yeshiva world, basically, is a Talmid of the Talmidim of the Alta Slabodka. Unbelievable. The Mashgiach of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chanan was Rabbi Lessin. He was a Talmud of the Alta Slabodka. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, now. The last Mashgiach, the Alta Slabodka, took the Yeshiva Slabodka and made Aliyah in 1925. Incredible move. He split the yeshiva, took half the yeshiva Teretz Yisrael. That's the yeshiva that went to Chevron. Chevron yeshiva nowadays is called Chevron because they started off in Chevron, but Chevron yeshiva is really Slabodka. And by the way, the Alta of Slabodka's son was Reb Lazy Yehuda Finkel, who started the Mir yeshiva. And of course, yeshiva's Chevron is his yeshiva. And yeshiva Slabodka in Bnei Brak is his yeshiva. It's just not shaykh to think what one human being was capable of doing. Anyways, Rabbi Avram Grudzinski was designated by the Alta Slabodka to be the last mashgiach, not to be the last, but to be the mashgiach in Slabodka Yeshiva when the yeshiva moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was the yeshiva. And then Rachmanel Islan, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, came. Next to Slabodka was a town called Kovna. These are all the Lithuanian cities. Kovna was the place in the Ninth Fort where many of the Litvish Gedolim were killed during the war. So Avram Grudzinski, oxymoronic as it may sound, was in a hospital in the Kovna ghetto while they erected a hospital. Yemach Shimon Bezichron on all of them. Anyways, there was a hospital there in the ghetto, and he was in the hospital. His Talmidim came, and he gave a shmooze from his hospital bed to his Talmidim. And during the shmooze, at the end of the shmooze, he was crying, and the Talmidim asked him, why is he crying? Obviously, they were crying in such a matzah, but he didn't say that. He said why he's crying. He gave a shmooze on Emunah Bitoch, and then he said why he's crying. He said he's crying because he's witnessing the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, destroy the Tzelem Elohim in themselves. Every human being is endowed with a Tzelem Elohim, as he's spoken many, many times. Chaviv Adam Shenivar B'Tzelem, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. However, Chaviv Adam Shenivar B'Tzelem, precious as a human being, he's created with a Tzelem, but a person can destroy that Tzelem Elohim. He can become so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he can denigrate the relationship that he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by destroying his Tzelem Elohim. He was crying for that. He was crying for that. Rav Grzinski had a 6-year-old son during the Holocaust. His name was Rav Yitzchak Grzinski. Rav Grzinski's son-in-law was Rav Volba. Rav Grzinski's other son-in-law was Rav Kreisworth. Rav Grzinski's brother-in-law was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. We're talking high-level people, high-level people. So Rav Grzinski is in the hospital, and he said over this thought of why he was crying. His son comes to Chicago, and I was zeicher to get to meet his son. His son lived on top of Aaron Leib Steinman in Bnei Brak. I was zeicher to get to meet him, and then he came to Chicago every year. He would come to shul. I begged him to speak. He refused to speak. It was incredible. Onav. But he came to shul every year. And one year he came to shul, I said to him, I have to ask you a question. How is it possible that your father, what did he do? How can it possible? A human being could say he's crying because the Nazis destroyed the Tzelem Elohim. What does it mean? So he told me an unbelievable thought. He said, you think my father did that on the spur of the moment? My father prepared his whole lifetime. Every day and every moment of his lifetime, he worked on his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It manifested itself that when he saw that there was a decline in the Tzelem Elohim in these human beings, or as some people wrote, these animals and human bodies, Yimach Shemam again on all of them, he said that my father prepared his whole life. At this moment, the expression of Tzelem Elohim, again, and the denigration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the lack of ability to have that relationship or the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a miyut of his kedusha in this world, the Chil Hashem, and that's why he was able to cry. This thought resonated with me, the concept of thinking and preparing and understanding what life is all about and constantly working on. Okay. With that in mind, I'd like to say two Gemaras. It was mamish ashgacha pratis that I came across these two gemaras. Unbelievable. One gemara is a gemara in Maseches Pesachim, which I learned, 2 or 3 months ago in Daf Yomi, and somebody called me up to tell me a vart on this gemara. The gemara says like this. Every year we all know, unfortunately we spoke about it Shabbos at Gadol, unfortunately we don't do it this, we don't do it while we're in Golas. We bring the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach. We bring the Korban Pesach. Mayridik. So it says the Korban Pesach was brought in three groups. Three groups of people entered the Azorah. Three groups of people entered the Azorah. The Gemara says, and this is learned from a pasuk, the Gemara says, it's a din d'oraisa, there had to be three groups. Korban Pesach had to be divided into three groups. Why is beyond what we're going to be talking about right now, but it had to be divided into three groups. Says the Gemara, if you come and you're part of the third group is called Kat of Atzlonim. You're an Otzel. In fact, the Gemara, why are you an Otzel? There have to be three groups. So what's the problem? Somebody has to belong to the third group. So the Gemara says an astounding thing. I want to quote the Gemara to you. Listen to the words of the Gemara on the top of the Samachim and Aleph and Maseches Pesachim. It's impossible for the world to exist without a perfume factory. And without a tannery. Now, for those people who know, everybody obviously knows that a perfume factory, the fragrance is beautiful. A borsi, a tannery, the fragrance is absolutely horrible. It's horrific. It's terrible. Beloy borsi. Happy, fortunate is a person whose umnis, whose trade is in a boisem, in a perfume factory. Oiloi, mishum nasai borsi. Oive, for someone whose parnasa comes from a tannery. Unbelievable Gemara. That's Gemara number one. Gemara number two. Gemara number two is a halacha, which we learned recently in Daf Hashvua. In Meseches Tainis. This morning, Baruch Hashem, we finished Meseches Tainis and Daf Hashua. Daf Hashua means we learn one blot a week. We've been doing this for more than 10 years. We've done more than 600 blot. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable accomplishment. Unbelievable. Anyways. Gemara says, Pruta Pruta Mitzarefes, penny by penny, penny by penny, things add up after a while. With consistency, small things add up. Anyways. So the Maisa, the Gemara says, if Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, which cannot happen nowadays with the set calendar, Tisha B'Av never falls on Friday. You can fall on Shabbos, you can fall on Sunday, you can't fall on Friday. You can fall on Thursday, you cannot fall on Friday. Time of the Gemara, Tisha B'Av can fall on Friday. So Gemara says, it's a Brisa. The Brisa says, Brisa is written by Tanoim. The Brisa says that if Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, even though it's during the 9 days, you can wash clothing on Thursday, L'Kavod Shabbos. Fine. If you forgot to wash clothing on Thursday, and now it's Friday, Tisha B'Av, you can wash clothing even on Tisha B'Av itself. That's the Braisa. Abaye, you've all heard of Abaye and Rava. Abaye interjects. Now, this is not normative Gemara behavior, interjecting the statement of an Amora in the middle of a Braisa. But it shows how important it is. Abaye liet. Abaye cursed anybody who washed their clothing on Friday. When Tisha B'Av was Friday. He cursed them. So the question is, what do you mean you cursed them? In the Braisa it says it's mutter. If you don't have clothing for Shabbos and Friday is Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to wash your clothing on Friday. So what does it mean Abaye cursed them? How could he curse them? How can he curse them? So, says Rabbeinu Chananel, one of the Rishonim, earlier than Rashi, he says, because he was Dochak Atzmoy. Dochak Atzmoy means he pushed himself. He pushed himself into a situation which was incorrect. So Abaye cursed him because, what do you mean that you didn't wash your clothing on Thursday? You knew you don't have enough clothing for Shabbos, so you didn't wash your clothing on Thursday. So the Braisa says, okay, see if you can wash your clothing on Friday, which is Tisha B'Av. But that's not what you should be doing. That's not the way a Jew should conduct himself. You should be ready and prepared. You should be ready and prepared. I once took a flight with my wife on a 8 o'clock flight out of O'Hare to New York. We were supposed to land on LaGuardia, and suffice it to say, the flight was an incredible experience, and we landed in Kennedy Airport at 4:30 a.m. An 8 o'clock flight at night, we landed at 4:30 a.m. The flight was so crazy that initially at 2 o'clock in the morning, we landed in Newark. The runway was closed. Nobody could open up the plane. And from Newark, we flew an 11-mile flight from Newark to Kennedy. We landed in Kennedy 4:30 in the morning. The time we got out the luggage, it was unbelievable. We got home to my in-law's house at about 5:30, 5:35 in the morning. So I told my wife, I'm not good enough sleep now. It's ridiculous. There's a 6 o'clock minyan in Shul, in one of the shuls in Flatbush. I'm going to go to the 6 o'clock minyan. Then I'll come home. I'll go to sleep. That's what I'll do. So, I go to shul. I get to shul at 10 to 6 in the morning. Now, you have to appreciate something. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, I get up very early. In those days, I didn't know what 6 o'clock in the morning was. So I come into shul at 10 to 6. 10 to 6. And I see a group of men. I don't know how many, 8 men, 10 men, 12 men. I don't remember. Maybe 15 men. They all have their talis and tefillin on already. And I know for many of you, it's hard to appreciate what I'm going to say, but please listen. I walk into shul, they have their talis and tefillin on at 10 to 6. And they're all reading the newspaper. It sounds incongruous. It sounds oxymoronic, as we said earlier. But what I understood from that story is the following. These people never had a chance to learn yeshiva. This was pre the whole tumult of Daf Yomi, and if it's Mishnah Berurah Yomi, and all the different programs that Klal Yisrael has now, which are gevaldig. These people are what were called Poshet Yidden. The word Poshet does not mean small. Rav Hutna has a letter. In Klal Yisrael, there are Gedoylim, great people, and there are no Ketanim. We don't say the word Ketanim. There are Gedoylim, and there are Pshutim. And Pshutim is like the word Amuna Pshuta. He's a gevaldik yidden. Poshet yid as gevaldik kedusha. So what is the pshat in wearing your talis and tefillin 10 minutes before davening starts and reading the newspaper? My Zedol of a Sholem, my mother's father on the farm, after they left the farm and he could no longer drive, so he was in our house and he said to me, will I pick him up, will I drive him to the 8 o'clock minyan? I said, yes. Maybe it was the 7 o'clock minyan. Whatever it was, let's say 8 o'clock minyan. I said, yes, Zayd, I'll drive you to the minyan. I'm going to go to the minyan myself. I'll drive you to the minyan. 7 o'clock, he comes into my room and turns on the light. Or he knocks on the door, whatever it was. I said, Zayd, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. You wake me at a quarter to 8. I'll get you there in time for the 8 o'clock minyan. He said, you can't get me in time for 8 o'clock minyan at quarter to 8. 7 o'clock, get up, get dressed, and we got to go to shul. My Zayda never learned yeshiva day in his life. He never saw the inside of yeshiva come out until he was, I don't know what age. If he ever did, unbelievable. He understood that if you're going to do a mitzvah, you're ready for the mitzvah. My Rebbe, the Yeshiva Shlita, Yisrael, used to say, when we had alumni gatherings on Simchas Beis HaShoeva during Chol HaMoed Sukkot, he used to give a shmooze. It was like the State of the Union address to the alumni. And he would say over, for those people who understand Yiddish, I'll say in Yiddish first, Mekenet Arayin Fallen in Shabbos. You can't fall into Shabbos. You can't fall into Shabbos. Mekenet Arayin Fallen in Shabbos. What does that mean? I'll give you a man's example before I give you a woman's example. Mincha Shabbat Friday afternoon is 5:30 during the winter, whatever it is, 5:30. At 5:29, you jump into your car, you gun the motor, you rev the motor, you drive 90 miles an hour up Sacramento, and Baruch Hashem, you don't hit anybody. You take a left on Tui, and on two wheels, you squeak into the parking lot of Adash Ashurin, you run inside, your tie's not made, your hair's still wet, and you daven mincha. That person daven mincha with a minyan, ma'iridik. But you know what? That's lying all over Abaye. Abaye doesn't like such behavior. The Gemara says, we don't like such behavior. Get to the Korban Pesach on time. Because a person has to be mechin. These are important things. The person has to be mechin. And that's what Abram Grzinski's son, Rabbi Yitzchak Grzinski, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, was saying about his father, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, Hashem Yimkum Damam. He was saying that my father prepared his whole life for this moment. My father prepared his whole life for this moment. The Toronto Kollel was the first Lakewood branch of a Kollel. Toronto. Somebody told me this week that his father was one of the first 10 in this Lakewood Kollel. He learned in the Kollel for 41 years. 41 years he learned in the Kollel. In the Kollel, they had a group. And the group was called the 720 group. Why were they called 720? Because for 41 years, They were in shul with their talis and tefillin on at 7:20 when davening started at 7:30. I want to give you another example. There's a Jew in this city named Eliezer Eisenberg. His father's name was of Aaron Eisenberg. Eliezer Eisenberg is a very big Talmid Chacham. He gives the Daf Yomi Shir for years. A rabbi, what used to be called Rabbi Frank Shul in Peterson Park. His grandfather, his father was of Aaron Eisenberg. And I met his father in Lakewood still, and I met him in Chicago, and I met his mother. His mother was the daughter of a Jew named Rabbi Akiva, whose last name eludes me right now. I don't remember his last name. And the Mashgiach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, in Lakewood used to talk about this Jew. What did he talk about this Jew? Because it was a yeshiva that you all heard of. Yeshiva was called Kelm. Yeshiva was called Kelm. I was Zecher to have a Sheiches with the Mashgiach Zatzal, who's one of the last Talmidim of the Kelm Yeshiva. We could talk all for hours about Kelm. Maybe one day we will. Anyways, the Mashgiach said that a Matzoi Shabbos in Kelm Yeshiva, they would all gather. The Yeshiva was never big. The Altav in Kelm, who started Yeshiva, never wanted to be more than 35 Talmidim. They would gather in a room, and there would be a mamuna. A mamuna was the appointer, the monitor, and they would switch off having a different monitor every couple of weeks, every couple of months. And they would gather in this room, and the monitor would say in front of everybody, Yaakov, on Monday you came late. On Monday you missed Second Seder. Why did you miss Second Seder? The pressure in front of everybody to be told you missed the Seder, now you got to tell everybody your excuse. I'm telling you this because the Mashgiach told us that Rabbi Akiva, who was the father-in-law of this Rabbi Aaron Eisenberg, the grandfather of Eliezer Eisenberg, learned in Kelm for 26 years and never, now let me say one thing, missing a Seder means coming 5 minutes late. Not coming 15 minutes late, a half hour late, an hour late. 5 minutes late, it's called missing a Seder. And in 26 years, Rabbi Akiva, I forget his last name again, Rabbi Akiva never missed a Seder in 26 years. We have a time to bench licht on Friday afternoon. That's what the Rishiva said. Mekenet Arayin fallen in Shabbos. You can't fall into Shabbos. You can't plop into Shabbos. You have to prepare. You have to prepare. And it's very, very hard, Rabbi Say. It's very, very hard. But the Gemara is teaching us, I believe, in these two Gemaras, Layat Olav Abaye and Katat Slonim, the Gemara is teaching us an incredible factor of the obligation to prepare for a mitzvah. It's an unbelievable obligation to prepare for a mitzvah. And that's what Avram Grzynski said, and that's what his son explained. My father didn't stam sit in the hospital, Rachmana Leslan, in Kovna before he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, and stam blurred out as saying, oh, I just thought of something that they're destroying the Telmukim, and that's why I'm crying. He prepared his whole life for that. That's what a Jew is. 24-7, to be cognizant of what am I doing. Vacations are a great thing. Time off is a great thing, but it's only so that I will be able to remain focused. I need energy to remain focused, so I need energy, so you need a break sometimes. You need a break. Chaim Seifert encouraged all the rabbanim in Hungary where he was, and he was a leading Rav, he was a Gadol Hador, he encouraged rabbanim, you should go away for a few weeks. You need to recharge your batteries. But it's to recharge your spiritual batteries to be ready, to be mechin, to be prepared for what life gives us as far as our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. Yesterday we spoke about the fact that a person gets a registered letter in the mail from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a white speck on their arm. And they got to go to the Kohen, the man or the woman, and show the Kohen the speck. And the Kohen has to determine, is it Tzaraas? Isn't it Tzaraas? And if it is Saras, as we said yesterday, your son's getting married, you can't go to the wedding. You want to watch it on Zoom? There's no internet. You want to call on the phone? There's no cell service. You're in a shack outside. Why? Because you spoke Lashon Hara. But what do you want from me? It's so hard not to speak Lashon Hara. I go to a function. There are people sitting there all talking Lashon Hara. So it's come out impossible not to talk Lashon Hara. That's true. It's come out impossible not to talk Lashon Hara. I was thinking about this. I did not say this yesterday. But I want to tell you. So what does the Torah want? Not to speak Lashon Hara. It's almost like not human. It's not human if you don't prepare. If you prepare, then you can. You can scale the highest heights. If you walk into a room and you know that at this room there's going to be a big issue of Lashon Hara, if you're prepared, you won't talk Lashon Hara. If you're not prepared, you plop in, you fall in. It's going to be incredibly difficult. I'll give you an example, I think, which is nogea to everybody. Many people, for many reasons, some for health, some just in general, are on diets. You're on diets. If you know that you're going to a dinner, and every food in the world that you should not eat is going to be served at that dinner, then you better be prepared about what you're going to do. Either you're going to eat beforehand, either you're going to psych yourself up and only going to drink water, you'll bring along some candies that you're allowed to eat, and you'll eat the candies. But if you just run into the situation, and every temptation in the world is in front of you, who's going to excel and be matzliach in that situation and not eat anything? It's not humanly impossible. So I think that's another lesson from the parsha of Lashon Hara, which is what Abaye was talking about, which is what the Gemara is talking about, which is Rabbi Grzinski is talking about. You have to be prepared. I remember a story once about a person who was in a position of prominence, and someone said they wanted to speak to them, and the person was going to call them up and rip them to shreds. The person was upset with them. So the person prepared. The person called somebody else, a mentor. The mentor said what the person should do in order to be able to remain calm during the phone call. And it worked. Otherwise, you can get into a screaming match. Chas v'shalom, you can say things which will be destructive forever. Great people are always prepared. Not that they think about every single event that can take place. They're prepared because they're continuously working on themselves. That's what it means to be a great person. A person who continuously works on themselves. A person is continuing. What's that? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, someone could be prepared and still things come up.
Oh, that's right. No question about it. No question about it. And sometimes the person can lose themselves when things come up. No question about it.
I just mean then they'll be late for something that, I mean, they were trying to not.
Okay, about it. Sometimes the person get a flat tire, right? There's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes there's traffic. Nothing you can do about it. But I will tell you, that if somebody has a chasana for their own child and the chasana is out of town, they don't leave the morning of the chasana. Nobody flies to Lakewood if they're getting married on a Monday night on Monday morning. Nobody does that. They may fly Friday. They may be able to fly Matzoy Shabbos. Nobody flies the day before the chasana. If it's your own chasana or your child's chasana. Because depending upon how important the thing is, that's what a person does. Now, a person doesn't always have the time to do that. I'm just bringing that as a proof that we know how we prepare for things. I want to bring you a proof in a different way, but I think it's a proof to this concept. A few years ago, I don't know why, but the state of Israel decided to print the value, the personal wealth of the leaders of Eretz Yisrael, the political leaders, the financial leaders, and the rabbinical leaders. And it came out that of all the list, I don't know how many people on the list, and I wish I could save it, maybe somebody could find it. They came out that the person who had the least amount of money was Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman. His focus was always, what is the Ratzon Hashem? It's an incredible concept. Incredible concept. So when we live in a world in which there are all types of printed material, either literally on paper or on the internet, where people are allowed to denigrate other people, maybe you can get sued for defamation of character, but otherwise you can talk all the Lashon Hara you want. There's no such concept as Lashon Hara. It's very difficult to say I'm going to be prepared not to talk Lashon Hara, and that's all the only thing that's going on. It's very difficult to sit down and go to a chasana and not eat unless you prepare yourself. But it's possible to do it. And that's why there's such a thing in those days. It's no longer, which is also a schmooze into itself, that nowadays tzaras does not happen because people are not on that level anymore. But there was a time when a person was on a level not to speak Lashon Hara, and if he did or she did, they got a letter from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They got a white spot on their arm, and they had to bring it to the Kohen. My wife asked me yesterday at the Suda, I don't know the answer, how many recorded cases of tzaras do we have? I don't know. What I do know is that it's possible for every single Jewish person to attain a level of the Chofetz Chaim. But the Chofetz Chaim worked on himself. As Rav Huttner writes, the Chofetz Chaim was not born as a five-year-old, never spoke Lashon Hara. He worked hard, extremely hard, to prepare himself. And the Chofetz Chaim was not a recluse, he was not a hermit, and he was a great conversationalist. And Fakert, when he saw people, he would steer the conversation to a way that no one would talk Lashon Hara. He prepared himself. He prepared his generation, and it's still ongoing, preparing the world to be able to control oneself, not to talk Lashon Hara. I think that's an incredible connection here. Preparation creates a situation that makes us all proud to work through. Preparation creates a situation that makes it proud after a person has worked it through. Okay, Rabbi Sai, on that note, I'd like to say that we are once again into summer's mind. Yesterday, Baruch Hashem, we had Pirkei Avos for women. And today we have our Sunday morning shiur for women. And Tuesday evening we have the tefillah shiur for women. We may increase the list with some more shiurim for women in Adash Yeshurin, Bez Hashem Yisbarach. Everything should be only with Hatzlacha Rabba. I thank you all for calling in and coming in and etc. And we should be zeicher to continue on our trek of trying to figure out what Avodas Hashem means, how we prepare for Avodas Hashem, so we should never be in the wrong category. Abaye should never speak disparagingly about us. We should never, chas v'shalom, have to go through what Rav Grzinski went through, but we should be able to understand his mind was prepared totally to react. And so too, we should try our best to do whatever we do with proper preparatory activity. Yes, anybody like to ask anything?
Thank you, Rabbi. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I love that comment you made about the Chofetz Chaim being a great conversationalist. I never heard that.
Yes.
I always felt like that. I bet he never said anything to anybody.
No, that's Yedua. Chofetz Chaim was a great conversationalist. He was able to to direct all conversations to stay away from Lashon Hara. It's a great conversation.
Fantastic. Yep. It's a great thing to learn. Thank you so much, Rabbi.
You're welcome. Anybody else have any other questions? Okay, so I thank you all for calling in once again, and we should all be zeicha to have atzlacha rabba, and Bez Hashem Yisbarach, we'll continue with all the shurim we have in the Erica Nita Meir Women's Learning Division of Adash Shurim. Thank you all very much. Kol Tov.